broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday, Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th, 2023, 14 and a half minutes past the hour. And you are tuned in to WGH Talk Radio here. It's going to be a great day. Beautiful weather outside. Getaway Friday, Cinco de Mayo. And we'll be on through 1 o'clock this afternoon with a lot of programming. Opening up this morning with a very serious story that we started talking about yesterday. I had said earlier in the week I received an email. Yesterday I did not identify the person who had sent the email. But the story was that this was a 55-year-old woman who was in the Marion area, who was on the verge of being homeless. Does not have any children, so cannot get help that way from services in town, and is not a senior citizen yet, so cannot get help that way from the services in town. So there was a real worry in this situation. We talked about it a little bit yesterday on the morning show, and this all stemmed from a house fire, is what started this sequence of events. And I ran into people yesterday at the grocery store who were talking about this, and it's a big thing. It's a big story in Marion that a lot of people are facing becoming homeless. And as of last night, this story took another turn, so I invited the person who wrote the email to come in today. Now, she wishes not to say her last name, so that is what we're going to do. Her first name is Carolyn, but we're going to hear the story and hear what happened in her own words, how we got to where we are, and exactly what did happen last night that has changed this story somewhat from what I was talking about yesterday. So, Carolyn, thank you for coming into the studio this morning. I appreciate it quite a bit.
Thank you for having me.
Carolyn, let's start at the beginning. You're 55 years old. You were living in a house in Mansfield.
Yes.
Were you renting, or did you own that house?
Renting.
Renting. So what happened, and when did it happen?
There was a gentleman that lived upstairs. It was a house that was made into an apartment. He went out drinking, came in, decided he wanted some fish, put on some oil, went and sat down while it heated up, and passed out. When he woke up, there was flames, and of course, he goes and throws water on it, which made the fire spread. So it went ahead and took out his apartment, which, my apartment being downstairs, got all the damage and everything else. It was totally unlivable.
Now, at that point, were you paying rent in that apartment?
Yes.
Okay. And utilities and things of that nature?
Yes.
Did you have a car at that point?
No, not at that point.
Were you working?
Yes.
Okay. Now, was it a full-time job or a part-time job?
Full-time.
Full-time. Okay. When the house fire happens and you can't live there anymore, but you have a job and you have a car at that point, why did things become so difficult?
Well, with that there, so my clothes were damaged and everything else. The Red Cross came in. They only helped you out with $515. They gave me a blanket, little personal sample packets of things, and that was it. They couldn't do anything more. So I ended up at the homeless shelter. I stayed there, and then I went ahead and relocated back to Marion, which is my hometown, to be closer to my grandchildren. And because I had to find a home anyways. And so I moved back here. The house insurance went ahead and put me up at a motel for 5 weeks. And then after that...
So you did have home insurance?
Yes. So, well, I had renters, well, insurance, which is really important to have.
Yes, because people brought this up yesterday when we started, and I said, I'm not sure if there was insurance or not, so you did have that.
Yes, I had just gotten renters insurance, yeah, because I haven't been in that apartment very long.
So it put you up for 5 weeks?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, in that 5 week period, what happened as far as because at that point you could take showers and mm-hmm. go to a job. What happened there?
So I was fine, you know, with that there. I was trying to find a place to move to, trying to find a job, and, you know, just getting re-established in Marion, you know, because I didn't know Marion. Marion had done totally changed since last time I was here. I had met a girl that had an apartment that she had just moved out of, but she had already paid the rent for 1 month, and she said that I could sublease it. She said she checked with the office. All she had to do was find the person to sublease it, and she'd be out of her lease. Well, so I moved in. I lived there for 2 months, paid the rent and everything, and the utilities. Come found out that she didn't have the correct permission. So the office people found out I was there. They said I had to move. So then at that point, I had gotten a job, and then I had met an old friend of mine that I worked with years ago, and she asked me to come and stay with her. And it was just a temporary situation, so I went to stay with her, and that time was up on May 1st.
Now the job you had when you were in Mansfield, living in that house, what happened to that job?
That was a group home. Yeah, they actually, according to the government, they decide how many people are to take care of one person and stuff, and they needed one less person, and I was the last one hired.
So you lost that job?
Yes.
Just as, how long after the fire did you lose that
same
job?
Same week.
Yeah. So kind of a tornado
of
events.
A few days, yep.
So you ended up in the homeless shelter in Mansfield?
Yes.
What is that like?
It wasn't too bad, because it was just like two people in a room and stuff. As long as you stayed to yourself, you did what you needed to do, and, I mean, they provided everything for you, and all you had to do is just, you know, go out there, get the jobs, you know, look for a home. I mean, they even had funding for housing, you know, for certain people, which, of course, I did not qualify for that either, because, of course, I'm in my 50s, so, I mean, it was nice, and the counseling, there was counseling there, too.
So you come to Marion, you have this 5 weeks of renter's insurance where you can stay in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
You did that. During that 5 week period, how many job interviews did you go out on, and what was the process there?
I went to, oh my gosh, I can't even tell you how many. I went to many. And not the first week I was here, you know, I had to try to get to know Marion a little bit and where everything was, where the jobs were and stuff. I got there, but then once I was here for a week, then I just went out there and just started looking.
And what would happen when you would go on the job interviews?
It wasn't too bad. I actually, I had, you know, clothing from the homeless shelter in Mansfield, you know, so I had clothing for my interviews and everything. I think a lot of them were just looking for somebody younger and, you know, more established in Marion.
What kind of places were you applying at? Because we always think of fast food places hiring, we think of retail, we think of factories who are always asking for help.
I was doing all that.
All those.
Not the factory so much, because of my health issues and everything else. I wasn't trying to get in there because I didn't think I would be able to do the 100% thing. But I did try the fast food, retail. I even went to Goodwill to try to get a job there. And I just think that they just looked at me as, you know, my age and not being reestablished, you know, because I didn't have a home, you know, I didn't have a phone, you know, they had to call the room, you know, in order to get a hold of me, you know. Even the hotel was even hiring for cleaning people, and they didn't even hire me.
Now, when it comes to your car, what happened to that?
I ended up selling the car. It broke down, and before I can get the money up, this one lady that I knew, and I was trying to help take care of her as well, she wasn't financially, what do you call it? I don't want to say anything bad about her. She's a really nice lady. Just that she wasn't handling her money well. And she didn't have a payee or nothing like that there, and her water was going to be disconnected. So I sold my truck so I can go ahead and pay her water bill, because in Mansfield, if you don't have water and the city finds out about it, they come in and condemn your home and you can't live in there until the water's back on.
Now, a lot of people listening to this might say, being in the situation you were in with no job and no home, why would you sell your car to help somebody else who's in need?
That's just who I am.
Did you think at the time this might put you in a bigger predicament?
No, actually I didn't, because I thought I was going to even, you know, stay in Mansfield. But Mansfield, you know, even housing there is just as bad as Marion. You know, just the cost, you know, trying to find a good place that isn't all run down and beat up, you know, and getting a good landlord. It's the same there, too.
Now, after the fire, you had the insurance, which gave you housing in a hotel for 5 weeks. Do you get anything else with that? Replacement of things, money, anything?
No, I didn't. I just got the insurance, so I did not get anything from that there, just the housing.
So, financially, all you ever got was the $500 from Red Cross?
Yes.
And when you would go to a group like Community Action or things that are in the community, churches, what would happen?
They would go ahead and take my information down, and because it was all done over the phone, they don't do office visits right now. And then they would let me know that I did not qualify. They said I didn't have a minor child in my home, and I wasn't 65.
So at that point, you knew you were going to be leaving the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a friend who you had worked with prior, and this person obviously knew that, invited you to live with?
No, I went to the apartment first.
You went to the apartment?
Yes, and when I was, and then I ran into the person that I used to work with
before. Oh, that the sublet apartment.
Yes.
And then there was a problem there.
Yeah.
Now, how were you paying to live in the sublet apartment?
I had gotten a job.
Oh, you did end up with a job.
Yeah, a retail.
Now, what happened there?
I worked a job for 20 weeks, and then they let me go.
For any particular reason?
It was probably holiday season. They had to downsize their hours. They were only allowed so many hours a week, and they had too many people.
So this would have been during the holiday season?
It's right after the holiday season, right after taxes and everything.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you were let go from that particular... So you've definitely been trying to work.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Okay. So the money that you were saving from that, you were eating and paying for this sublet apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then my friend, when I was living with her, I you know, paying her too.
Now, the friend, what was the situation there? She said... Did she know you were about to end up in a homeless situation?
Right now, at this time?
I mean, when you left the sublet apartment. How did you end up with
her?
Oh,
yes. We had talked and everything, and we talked several times, and we went to Bible study together, and we just kept talking, and then, yes, she knew that, you know, there was nowhere else I was going to be able to go to.
So you ended up with your friend, and how long were you there?
I believe I moved in late October until yesterday.
Until yesterday. And why did you leave yesterday?
It was a temporary situation.
Now, the friend knew, obviously, that you're not in any better situation at this point. Was that hard?
Well, actually, at the time, she did not realize that I wasn't getting that apartment. At the time, you know, as far as we both knew until Thursday or Wednesday, that I was actually going to have an apartment on West Columbia. But the apartment that I was supposed to get, I got scammed. This guy went and showed me the apartment. He had the key to the place and everything else. And when I went to go see it on Wednesday to get ready to move in on Thursday, some people were living there. And so I got information from them. I called the police, and the police said, yeah, this does happen. This does happen. And so I'm out of that money, but they took all my information and everything else. The telephone number is no longer in service that I was using to get a hold of this guy. But I got a good description of him, and so did my daughter. So,
what about the housing or apartment developments in Marion? Like the, you know, Hollybrook is one of those. The Josh Daniels apartments.
Josh Daniels is probably one of the places that I would like to go to because it is all utilities paid. Just pay that one bill. I would love to do that there, but they are not taking any applications. Same with Hollybrook and Green Meadows. Is that what it's called on Fairground?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with them. And then the ones out on Crescent Heights and Fairfax, that's where that apartment was. So now they're saying, no, I can't, you know, because they said I was already breaking somebody else's lease. So evidently I don't want to do the rules. And I said, I had no idea about the rules, you know.
Now, when you were going to move into this apartment on Columbia that last week, last Thursday, or was it this Thursday?
This Thursday, well, yesterday.
Yesterday, it would have been yesterday.
Yeah.
So, how were you going to pay for that with no job?
Actually, I've been working as, I've been training to be customer service at home. And so that's how I was able to get up the money. Plus, my daughter also gave me some money for that there.
Now, at this particular time, are you working?
No. I'm still hired with this company, but the thing is they don't have the equipment. So I cannot finish my training until they finish the equipment or getting the equipment and supplies. Once they do that there, then I will have a job with them if I continue to want to work with them. But I've been out there trying to find a job. I've been in several job interviews. I've got a couple places that's right now doing the background check, so I should be able to hear something from them soon. The only thing is I don't have phone service. Only around when I'm around Wi-Fi. So
now, you mentioned you had a daughter there. Now, a lot of people are going to say, why can't you go live with your daughter?
Okay, so my daughter is 30 years old now. She has a boyfriend, which I don't get along with, but she's living in an efficiency apartment. And so it's just her, her boyfriend, and the dog, and her dragon, her lizard. So there's not really any room for us there.
When this situation came about yesterday, where you could not move into the apartment on Columbia, you knew you had to leave the friend's home,
mm-hmm.
and your daughter's aware of this.
No, I didn't tell her.
She's not aware of this.
I did not tell her that I was not going to have anywhere to live. I didn't want to burden her with it. I really didn't, because the situation would have been very stressful. I mean, I'm already stressed out to the max as it is. I wasn't going to bring that on her because, she does have a job. She's had it for several years. I don't want her to get stressed out and mess up on her job. And I didn't want to make a conflict between the two of them just because me and him don't get along.
So she doesn't know about this now?
No, she does not know that I don't have a place to stay right now.
Now, what about any other family members? Aunts, uncles, cousins?
No, my aunts... last year I had an aunt that died, a few years back another aunt died. My mother died 2 years ago, be 3 years this June, or July, and then my dad passed away about 15 years ago.
Now, do you have any medical conditions that would prevent you from doing certain jobs?
I'm really not supposed to be lifting anything heavier than a gallon of milk, but I still do it. I have an enlarged spleen and a low platelet count.
Now, a lot of people are going to ask this, so I'm going to ask it. Has there ever been any drug or drug abuse problem in your life?
No.
Okay. So no issues there.
At one point, when I was younger, I did drink a little bit, but that was back in my 20s. I got married when I was 25, so then that went.
Now, all the groups we hear about, you know, we've been handed these things here, you know, transportation, educational resources, housing and utility assistance. When you go through these, they just basically say you don't have a kid and you're not a senior citizen.
Yeah, and the utility, and a lot of them will even say that we don't have the funding. We don't have the funding is what a lot of them will say now. But yeah, now the utility is, it's during the winter season, you're for sure going to get help, most likely. I would say 90% sure. Summertime, not so much. Transportation, the MAP bus, it is very good. Transportation, I do actually have a bus pass. I think I have $10 on it.
Now, if somebody came to you today and said, we have an apartment, it's open right now, maybe somebody listening, what could you afford to pay today?
I don't have anything today. Yeah. I have nothing.
Zero money.
No, after, I mean, because I didn't get no money back from that apartment that I was getting on West Columbia.
Now, so as far as being able to have a place right now, how would that happen?
I'm not even sure about that there. I did go to Leapin Ministries yesterday, and when I went there, the one woman was telling me, because they know I do crafts and everything, she was telling me that they're actually having a craft show at the Moose tomorrow, Saturday. And she said that I can have a table there if I wanted a table there. And I said, yeah. So I'm going to be setting up my crafts. Also, I had been given 1,500 of these kids' party packs. They're brand new party packs. And I'm going to be trying to sell them there as well.
Now, you say you don't have phone service. What about the free phones that we always hear about?
Yeah, see, and I got the free phone service, but I still have to pay for the phone, which is $8.33, and I get unlimited talk, text, and data. But since it had to be paid by the 27th, I have to pay $16.66.
So, I mean, and this is hard for people to understand. You don't have $16.
Right.
Right now.
Right.
Zero money to your name.
Right.
How do you eat?
Food pantries. And I was offered, I was on food stamps. And then they lowered my food stamps because I had gotten a job. And I had talked to them already and let them know the situation with the job. So I think they're upping my food stamps again.
Now, as far as keeping food places or cooking food, how do you do that?
I'm not going to be able to cook anything, so I'm just going to have to, at this point, just get things on the go.
Now, as far as personal hygiene, how do you deal with that?
Okay, so I can take showers up at the Leapin Ministries on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then also, you know, if I go like to like a Motor Mart or Speedway, I can go in and wash up real good. And change clothes.
And you do this in the bathroom?
Yes.
Now, are they okay, or are they aware of this, or?
It depends on who's working, I'm sure. I mean, that's the way it was before. Years and years ago, I was homeless, but that was due to the 9/11. So, I'm not sure actually how the situation goes now, but I hear that it's still the same. Because, like I said, I've only been homeless for the one day.
Now, as far as getting around with no car, how do you do that?
Walking now, which is a little hard on me, but also the transportation with the bus. Like I said, I do have a bus pass, and I've got $10 on it.
Well, like I say, the thing that changed yesterday, and you've alluded to it a little bit there since we read the email yesterday, was last night you were homeless.
Yes.
And that was the first night.
Yes.
What happened? Where did you stay last night? You don't have to give us the address or anything like that, but what did you do?
In a park.
You stayed in a park?
Yeah, but I didn't sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it got really cold last night. I mean, you can even see my breath. I mean, and I've got 3 layers of clothes and on and 2 jackets, and it still was not enough.
Well, yeah, it was below 40 degrees last night without question. So last night, you're in a park. It's very, very cold.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you get through that?
I just kept trying to think positive. That's what I did. I mean, every day I try to think of positive things that happens every single day. And something always happens.
Yeah.
Something always happens, and it's like, oh, see, there's that positive thing. I knew something positive was going to happen today.
You talked about your faith, going to church. Do you ever say, why, God, are you letting this happen to me?
No, I believe that he is not going to put me through something that I cannot handle, that he will give me my strength. And I believe that what I'm going through, that someday I can tell somebody, I know what you're talking about. I've been there. I've done that. You know, this is, you know, some ideas, some suggestions, and they're more going to be about to help. Listen to me and receive that word from me, you know, because I had been there.
Now, when it comes to mental stability, because I think to anybody this would be a very, very heavy mental burden to live with.
Yes.
Is there any depression, anxiety, things of that nature?
Yeah, I'm very highly depressed, but I'm on medication for that. I have been for about a month and a half now. you know, because I knew this was coming, and, you know, just the stress of all of it, and, you know, the insecurity about my job, you know, just starting to do training, and the training just seemed a little off because, you know, we would not train it Monday through Friday like we were told, and we would only train like a couple days and a few hours them days, and so, yeah, it was stressful, but, I mean, the medicine seems to try to help clear out the clouds.
What do you say to the people who say something's got to be wrong here, that you have somebody who lives in a house, it catches on fire, they end up in a homeless shelter, they have a daughter, they have a friend who's willing to help out, 5 weeks in a hotel, a sublet apartment, a car at one point, and it's all wiped out within a period of months, that maybe you're hard to get along with, maybe you're not a hard worker. Those people who come up with those things saying this couldn't happen to me. I would have done this. I would have done that.
The thing is about me is I help out everybody as much as I can and even beyond what I can. Like, when I first, just before I got to Marion, right after the fire and everything, I knew somebody that needed tires and brakes and phone service for her and her boyfriend, and I gave them $700.
See, but Carolyn, I think the problem is here, and this would not be the time to do that when you're in such dire straits.
Right.
I mean, we all want to help mm-hmm. people, and we all want to give, and I'm sure there are people listening right now who would like to help you out. But I think, you know, why did you do that?
I just felt, you know, that I needed to do that. It just my upbringing. My parents did the same thing. And, you know, my sisters, my daughter, you know, she's helped out even at food pantries and things like that there, you know, for years. And, I mean, we just give freely. We just do. And, but yes, I do have to back off of it. And I have learned that a lot with my friend. She has showed me a lot, and we've had a lot of talks, and I so appreciate these talks that we've had because it's made me say, no, I'm sorry, but I can't because I really don't have it for me.
Well, when you end up sleeping in a park, I think there comes a point, as much as we want to help people, that now we are somebody who is in need of help.
Yeah.
Is that hard to take?
I'm very disappointed in the fact that I've gotten into this situation. You know, I'm 55 years old. You know, it's like, a lot of my depression is the fact that I am 55. I feel like I should be in that happy place, but I'm not. But I believe this guy, you know, I never thought I would be scammed like that there. You know, I believed that he had the key. He showed me the apartment. I went in. You know, I looked around, you know, I checked for bugs, everything. I mean, and he met with me, he met with my daughter, you know, got the money and gave us receipts.
What did your friend say? Because that's an unexpected thing to happen. What did they say when they found this out?
I didn't tell her until last night in a text message after I had already left.
Why?
Because I didn't want to burden her with it. I really didn't. I don't feel like my situation should be hers. She's got, you know, her life to live. You know, she's got things that she's got to take care of for herself and, you know, her family. And I didn't want to burden her with that. And she is a very good Christian woman. And she would be very upset.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What if, when she finds out that you stayed in a park last night, what do you think the response is going to be?
No, we've already discussed it, and I'm not coming back. I've got a week to get my stuff out of her house.
Now, why would you not go back?
See, she's renting. So, you know, we don't want the landlord, first of all, to find out, you know, that she allowed me to stay there. It just wasn't working out. About a month and a half ago, she had decided, you know, to let me stay until May 1st, and then the weather happened, so she did let me stay until Thursday. But, yeah, I think it's best that since I'm already out, just to continue to get out.
You walked here this morning. Where do you go from here?
From here, I'm going uptown. There is a shop, Spruces, I think is it called, across from Charleston Place, and they might take some of them kids' party packs and try to sell them on consignment or even some of my craft things. So I'm going to be going there.
Where will you sleep tonight?
Probably same place.
In the park?
Yep.
How long do you think you can do that at 55 and... Yeah. What do you have on you? I mean, what do you own at this point? No car, obviously, no home. What do you own?
Okay, so I do have, like, some furniture and, of course, my craft supplies and things like that there. I do have a storage unit, but I wasn't able to pay the storage unit. So there is a lock on my storage unit. I had to pay $117 for that.
What kind of money at this point... I mean, because nobody's going to give continuously.
Right.
And obviously the social groups are not helping. What kind of money would it take at this point to get you in a position where you don't have to sleep in a park tonight, where you can, I think food doesn't sound like an issue at this point.
No, it's not.
That you can get to a point where you can get to a job and make an income to where you can afford something. Because I don't think anybody wants anybody living in a park.
Right. I mean... I definitely wouldn't want somebody to be living in a park either. To put a money figure on it, I have no idea. I've never really sat and thought about it because until Wednesday, I was moving into that apartment. You know, and so then when I found out on Wednesday that I wasn't, you know, able to get the apartment because it was somebody else is already living there and it was a scam, that I've been, you know, just trying to figure out, okay, what am I going to do, you know? And so that's what I've been dealing with.
Is there an efficiency apartment, someplace you could go for a month today if you had a certain amount of money?
Not that I'm aware of. I actually have to start looking again.
Because I think people are probably wondering if the social organizations are not going to help you out financially, what is this... amount that will get you somewhere, because obviously you're not going to be able to move right into a house or an apartment
right
today.
Mm-hmm.
So what would it take to help you tonight? Why not go to the homeless shelter here in Marion?
They're full. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So they can't take anybody in?
No.
Is there a waiting list?
Yes, and I am on the waiting list.
How many people are in the homeless shelter?
I'm not aware of.
So right now, if I go to the Marion Homeless Shelter, I can't get in.
Actually, for a man, you have to go to B Ministries.
Right.
Yeah.
But
the Women's Homeless Shelter is up on Fairground Street. And so unless you were married or had a girlfriend with a baby or a child or something like that there, then you can move into the family room. But since I don't have no kids, yeah, so I would just get a bed in a room that was shared with other women.
Now, is there any, you could get a room there, but they're just not available, is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah,
but
I am on the list, though.
Did they have any idea how long this will take?
No, I asked her, I said, what is the turnaround rate? And she says... She was not really certain, and she didn't want to give me false hope.
If you go to an organization like the Sheriff's Department or the Police Department, is there anything they can do?
I actually thought about that. I seen a sheriff last night or this morning when I was getting my blood work done, and I was going to ask him, you know, what do you do when you find somebody that's 55 and homeless and sleeping in a park? What do you do? You know, I was going to ask him, but he was dealing with the situation, so I didn't. But yeah, that thought actually came to my mind here a few hours ago.
Well, it might be worth trying something.
Yeah.
What do you hope will happen at this point, where you are now, one night homeless?
What I'm hoping for is to get a job. I'm hoping that one of the places that I had interviewed at that's, you know, been doing a background check or, you know, didn't need a background check, whatever, you know, that I get hired soon.
And do you feel there's a good probability of this at this point?
Oh, yeah. I have experience in retail and fast food. So, I mean, I've tried Motor Mart, Speedway, Little Caesars, McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, Arby's.
Do you have at this point the clothing and things needed to go on a job interview and start working?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you do have that?
Yep. And I'm carrying it around with me.
So basically what you have with you because of the storage unit not being able to get into it, that's all you have at this point.
Yeah, well, I can actually go to my friend's house and still get into my stuff, you know, that's there, but I have to, you know, when she's there. But I have a week to get my stuff out of her place. So I have a week to get my storage unit unlocked and get my stuff moved into my storage unit.
Now, do you have a plan in regard to being able to do that?
Yes. Saturday, I'm hoping I make enough money to where I can go ahead and pay for the storage unit to be opened up so I can go ahead and get the things moved in there.
With the way things are going now, how long do you expect to be without a home?
Probably a good month.
A month?
At least.
What will you do for a month?
Same thing I did yesterday, just sleep in the park. You know, day every day during the day, just be out there pounding the pavement, you know, just trying to find, you know, ways to better my situation, you know. Also, I get the food stamps that comes in on the 8th, but I do have some food on me, and so I will be able to eat every day, so.
What's the best case scenario at this point?
I'm not sure what you're asking.
Well, like, what is the best possible thing that could happen that would turn this situation around in less than a month?
That I sell out at the sale on Saturday and I get a job today.
Right.
That would be the best thing, I mean. And then, you know, find the right apartment.
Now, how does that happen when you don't have a car and, you know, access to finding apartments, I imagine, would be hard right now.
I'm not afraid to walk. And Monday through Friday, the buses do run.
Mm-hmm. And what is the worst case scenario?
Worst case scenario is I don't get a job and I only make maybe a couple dollars at the sale on Saturday. And then I lose my storage unit and everything in my friend's house.
And if that happens, then what?
Just keep going. I just got to keep going. I just, you know, keep looking for a job and just keep pressing on.
You know, I understand that you don't get along with your daughter's boyfriend, and I understand that she's in an efficiency apartment, and I understand that you and your friend just parted ways because of a situation. Mm-hmm. But don't you think that somebody's going to say something in a month's time so you don't sleep in a park every night with temperatures that are dipping down below 40 degrees every night?
Somebody might. I'm not sure, you know, but with my daughter, her boyfriend's on drugs, and she's not, and I'm not, and it's just really hard. It's really hard. I mean, the police would be there, like, all the time, and I don't really want to be in that stressful situation, and I don't want the drama and stuff, so, yeah. So really, that is my choice. My daughter would probably, you know, drag me to her place.
Isn't that better? Than sleeping in the, and you could leave during the day.
Not with stress. No, because it would be at night too. I mean, he stays up all night playing games. I mean, because we all lived together before, because I had gotten them a house in Bucyrus, and we all lived there because I had ended up breaking my foot, and I needed help with it with my foot because I couldn't put no pressure on. I had to have a couple surgeries. And he was up like all night, even though my daughter had to be at work at 6 o'clock in the morning, had to get up at 4:30, and, you know, and so, no, it would be too stressful.
Clearly, you and I have not met prior to today. Why did you not want to say your last name on the air?
I did, because of who my dad is. I didn't want, you know, any bad reflection on my dad, because he was the best person in the world. And everything that's great about me is because of him and my mom.
Do you think about your parents at a time like this?
All the time.
What do you think about?
What would they do? What would they do? What would they say?
And what do you think they would say?
I think my dad would be proud of the fact that I'm not letting it totally get me down. That he would tell me, you're doing what you need to do. Just keep doing what you're doing. But of course, if they were alive, I'd be living with them too.
You know, there is this idea. We see it all the time. We pass by Aldi parking lot. We pass by Walmart parking lot. We see the people with signs out there who are asking for money, food, help in any way. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people feel those people are phony, that they do go home and they do have places to live and they're just begging for money. and that, or they're deadbeats. You know, we hear that word. We hear that. Mm-hmm. We've heard that word for years. I could never get in that situation. Those people just need to go out and get a job. There's jobs everywhere. They're just not hard workers. They're deadbeats. What do you say to people who have those claims?
So I actually, there was this woman, and she had a sign up and everything else, and I went into the grocery store, and then I said, you know what, I'm going to go over and get her something from McDonald's. So I went over and got her some food and drink and everything else. I took it to her. She goes, I don't want no food. I said, what can I do to help you? What can I do? She goes, I need money. I said, well, okay, tell me what's going on. She wanted money, but I didn't feel comfortable with giving her money. I was like, well, here's some food. She goes, no, I don't need no food. I was like, well, this here will keep you from having to spend any money on food, so here's the food. But she totally still refused the food. So what does she want the money for? You know, I just, you know. So
there is that thought.
There is that thought. But then I've also known one or two out there, the younger ones that are just out there, they're trying to get some little extra money, you know, things like that there. Then I know these, I think they're brothers, and they sit out there and they get their checks every month. They live together. They get their checks every month. They get food stamps, you know, and they have a home, but they're out there begging. They're out there, what are they doing with their money? Why are they out there begging? Why are they saying they're hungry when they both get food stamps?
Staying in a park, a lot of people would be fearful, especially a woman being alone.
That's why I didn't sleep last night.
Yeah, fearful.
Yes.
Fearful of?
Who was going to walk up on me. You know, I mean, I don't know, Marion. Really, I don't. Even though I've been here for a little bit, I really still don't know, Marion. And today, I just don't feel like the world is safe, you know, to be outside like that.
Being that this has all happened within 24 hours, essentially you have become homeless within 24 hours, what goes through your mind right now?
Right now, I'm just thinking about, you know, my next step, you know, is, you know, thinking about, like, maybe getting a tent. I know a few people have gotten tents and going into a wooded area and sleep in that. I've been thinking about doing that.
By the way, if anybody's got a question, we do have about 5 minutes left, or a comment to anything that's been going on here, feel free. 740-383-9944. We are in the studio today. 740-383-9944. Have about 5 minutes left here, hearing the story of Carolyn, who had a house fire within the last few months in Mansfield, or relocated back here to Marion, where she was from, and as of last night, was completely homeless and slept in one of the parks here in Marion. Well, did not sleep, but stayed in one of the parks here in Marion last night. And likely that will be the case today as well, and possibly for the next month is what we're hearing. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you ever think, forget the social groups, that good people, and we have a lot of good people in Marion, are not going to let this happen? We have 75 churches that people won't let this go on for a month.
See, and my thing was, too, is I don't want a handout, you know, but now I'm down to the part where I'm actually begging. So, yeah, I've actually thought about writing letters to the churches saying, hey, you know, if you can even do $20 or $25, that's $20, $25 more towards, you know, me being, you know, set. And but also then too, like I said, the Leap of Ministries also got me a table at the Moose for their craft sale tomorrow, so I will be set up there tomorrow.
So you don't want handouts from people, but it's come to the point where you do have to ask.
Yes. Yeah, I really didn't want it, you know, because I usually, like, I help other people don't help me, but now it's just down to the point where I need the help.
I mean, at this point, you say you have what you have on you. You came in with I think, two bags, was it?
Yes.
Do you have pillows, blankets?
I'm actually going to pick that up today from my friend's house. Mm. Yeah.
What do you have besides clothes? What do you carry around with you?
Food, toiletries, some extra clothes, couple craft things to make, you know, just to try to take my mind off things, because that's my antidepressant thing, is to do crafts.
Where will you spend the day today?
Actually walking around Marion. I've got a lot of things I've got to get done. I've got to, like I said, I'm going to go up to that store. I'm also going out to the mall and talk to Art by Wendy. She was talking to me before about doing my stuff on consignment.
This is an awful question to ask, but it just, I think people don't ask it enough. We hear of the suicide rates going up now because people are without money and they are in tough situations, and certainly the drug problem has become an issue like this. When you are at this point in life of 55, certainly it doesn't sound like your own fault has brought this upon you, but you are in a park, and it is below 40 degrees, and right now the prospects don't look very good. Do things like that ever cross your mind?
Drugs, no. Alcohol, no. I'm not into that there. As for, you know, sometimes when I just lay down, I just don't want to wake up. I mean, I'm just being honest there. But I also do feel like it is my fault that I'm in this situation.
Your fault because?
Because this is my life, and I'm the one that made my decisions. I'm the one, you know, that put myself everywhere I am. So, yes, I feel like it's my fault that I am where I'm at.
But when you say you don't want to wake up, you're not talking about suicide.
No, I can never kill myself or harm anybody else. But no, sometimes I just want to just lay down, just go to sleep. Hmm. But then I don't want to do that. You know, I got grandchildren and, you know, my daughter. So I just really don't. I don't want that to happen either. But I do feel that way sometimes, honestly.
In our last minute, what would you like to say to the people listening who've been listening for the last 45 minutes?
Let's try to get that information out there. If there's information out there that will help those who are in this age bracket, or if not, let's set something up. I am so willing. I will do some fundraising myself, you know, to help out. Whatever I can do, you know, let me know. And, but yes, let's get this here problem taken care of. You know, I'm not the first one. I'm not going to be the last one.
And by the way, you can email me here at the station, scott@wwgh1071.com, or give me a call, 740-383-9944. I do know how to reach Carolyn. So that's the story, and I thank you for coming in this morning, and I hope it gets better. But Carolyn, a resident here in Marion, who as of last night was homeless and slept in one of the parks here. And hopefully the situation gets better. We'll be back in 15 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
I'm telling you the truth.
Before I let you go, I have to say that you have made my day without question. I really do know you don't do these things often. And to give us this time and to come on with us means the world to me. And I hope you are still able.